Let's get going here. Fastest 2 hours in hockey. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. It is the Leaf Hour edition. Game 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They look for their first 2-0 series lead since when, Sammy? 2002?
No idea.
2002.
2002. Against your
Islanders?
New York Islanders.
Yeah. I didn't know that part. I made that guess up. Kip, do you think the Leafs can hang in there against Ottawa's vaunted 5-on-5 play tonight? Can they weather the storm from this elite,
the most dominant
firebrand offense?
The most dominant 6-2 loss in NHL history.
Oh, you guys got all your analytics.
Holy.
It took 24 hours, but you guys are loaded with 5-on-5 analytics. Oh. So how bad is Ottawa?
No, the Leafs are terrible. Ottawa is the greatest 5-on-5.
Didn't you read everything? Ottawa is dominant. That's all the numbers today.
Where were the numbers all season for Ottawa, 5-on-5?
They were 31st, I think, in the NHL. But last game.
No, forget last game. Where were they during the regular season?
Legitimately, I think they were 31st.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I got a disaster over here.
Sam's got a coffee meltdown.
You're showing jitters? Didn't game one clear all that up?
Coffee usually doesn't help with jitters, but I've just made a mess here. I put too much.
So the Ottawa Senators, they dominate. They're getting a split tonight. That's what you're telling
me. I'll be clear on what I'm insinuating.
Okay.
There has been a lot of talk about how good Ottawa was last game.
Yeah, I mean, Travis Green kind of set that table for us in his post game.
And Tim Stützle came out and said we were really good at 5-on-5, and most of the analysis about the Sens and how they can win tonight is about controlling the 5-on-5, and they're this great 5-on-5 team. I'm being sarcastic about it because the Leafs won last game by 4 goals.
Yeah.
I thought carried the play, good power play, and I thought packed it in defensively. I don't know. Maybe Ottawa is going to dominate them again at 5-on-5. But I'm just surprised at the narrative around. Even the betting lines have shifted in Ottawa's favor after a 6-2 Toronto win.
Leaf fans weren't too happy after the game, right?
Yeah.
About, I know our Hockey Night in Canada crew came out post-game and talked about Ottawa playing fairly well, I think.
Do
you think that narrative pissed off a lot of Leaf fans?
And I don't think it was their fault. The panel, they just highlighted individually good things that both teams did. And Ottawa had a couple in a row where it was like, they did control the run of play in terms of shots and attempts and all that sort of stuff. And were physical, and there were good things in the game for Ottawa for sure. It's Leafs fans being like, we won everything biased in our favor.
So when you see a 6-2 score, you think dominance, right? Do you think the Leafs didn't get enough credit for a 6-2 score?
Well, I just think if you look at how the Leafs closed the season out, I think in their last 16 games, they were 13-2-1. And they carried something like 40% of the shot attempts. They, in terms of ozone possession time, the other team had them by a few minutes every game. And it kind of became clear what their identity was. Their identity is a high-danger team, protects against giving it at their own end, wants to create it at the other end. If you know analytics and you follow it, score effects have a big hand in things. And when it was close, after one period, even after two periods, the Leafs were ahead in some of these numbers. So, yeah, eventually you pack it in and the numbers change. But anyway.
Tonight, I think there's been a lot of hand-wringing from Leaf fans speaking about them. Is it different? Feeling different? Different has been the biggest sort of conversation with Craig Brubeck going into this playoff. For me, tonight, with another victory, it is different.
Stats are for losers.
If they win tonight and it's 2-0 going into a Thursday night matchup in Ottawa with 50% Leaf fans in that building, it's a different feel. Maybe it's just a different type of heartbreak. I don't know.
Does it have to look like it's kind of looked in the past with great goaltending, shutting down defense, block shots again in game one? I don't know what they were, like 19, 20 block shots. Like
Which scary over a long playoff trying to do that, but
yeah, but fairly consistent on the look that they've had. Mm-hmm. Like another look like that says to me, Sammy, that would have a different feel.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and the Leafs with all five healthy D, you know, and not to cut Benoit out of that because he defends the net front hard, they do a good job at that thing specifically. So I wonder what the date was where we came in here and Berube said we need to get back to our identity. And we said, just a question, what is it?
Yeah.
It became pretty clear after that.
Yeah, it did.
With
Stolarz.
Yes.
And Wall. I mean, Joseph Wall played well, too.
Yeah, very well.
I do think that this is going to be a much different game than the first one.
Well, it's going to settle. That's what's going to happen here. That whatever Ottawa went through, we won't see six power plays for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
No, certainly not.
I think we're safe in saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very uncommon, and I also think you're not going to see 9 hits from Tim Stützle. Ottawa threw 56 hits in game one. Toronto, I think, 30. I don't think Ottawa's a 60-hit team every night. I think it is going to be different and much more hockey-like.
Yeah, okay. The first 10 minutes of the first game of the playoffs, at Battle Ontario, everybody's juiced up. Everybody wants to run into each other. I think there's still some of that in game two, but once you get to game three, game four, it turns into much more of a hockey situation than it does in the first couple games. So we'll see how much it settles in tonight, but it was a physical game on Sunday.
Let's go to our first Kippers Clipper of the day with Craig Berube's thoughts on trying to go up 2-0 in the series.
Yeah, well, you get a lot of desperation from the other team for sure. We're going to get a good push from the Senators tonight. We know that. They're going to be better tonight, so... You know, we talk to our guys. We got to be better. We got to do things better. And, you know, you might not get all the power play opportunities you got last game.
There you go.
And that's fair. Ottawa did not like the power plays.
I hadn't heard.
Did come up.
Oh.
Yeah, and I mean, it'll be interesting because the Leafs don't want to be, you know, as much as we say they're comfortable with this high danger play, you don't want to spend the whole game in your own zone. I'd like to see something better. From, you know, can Domi, Robertson, and McMahon have some better shifts? Can they create a little bit more? The second line with Tavares and Nylander didn't do much last game for me either. So
there'll be a bigger push and more of an emphasis coming from Berube for those two lines to spend more time in the Ottawa zone.
Yep, we do have a number of thoughts from Berube on line matchups on McMahon. Do you want to do on the top line matchups?
Yeah, I want to hear him on the line. Matchups.
Yeah, well, I thought we let Stützle carry the pucks through the neutral zone a little bit too easily at times. I think we need to force them to put pucks in more deep than they did. I thought they gained a zone on us with possession too many times. And then, you know, that's a good forechecking line. They're heavy with Tkachuk on there, and Stützle's heavier than anybody than you think. You know, we got to break the puck out better, so... When we force them to dump pucks, we got to make sure we're getting that puck and we're making a strong play right away and getting it out of our zone, limit them from creating them zone time on us.
That's a great thing to aspire to do. The old guard loves to call this guy Stützle. Mac, you know, Berube.
It's Stützle?
Stützle.
Yeah.
Stützle.
L-U-H kind of.
Yeah. It's terrible to say. It's not natural in our...
You're right, though. Stützle is the big-time old guy thing to call it.
Old Timmy Stu. Yeah.
And he is a key for them. And to your point, if you're running around trying to hit everything that moves, like, who's then your go-to guy up the middle of the ice?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had 79 points, so just a point per game, 79 points in 82 games for them this year. He needs points every night for Ottawa in the series. He needs to be dynamic, and he is one of the guys, you know, when you weren't here, we talked about circles and squares. Big circle for me.
Yeah.
Like, if you can, I know he dives or whatever, but I think you got to make it unfun to play out there.
And we know Brady Tkachuk is well-documented on what he can do and how heavy he is and be a wrecking ball out there, but the rest of their lineup, I'm not sure. Like, Dylan Cousins is a big boy, but I don't know if he's really been known as a guy that's going to run anybody over.
That's my biggest disappointment with him so far.
Look at that lineup, and Perron can play a heavy game, but
He's a step slower.
He's a step slower. And outside of that, Batherson's a skilled guy. And Claude Giroux, to me, looked a little slow in game one.
Batherson, Pinto, Greg, or obviously Tkachuk, Stützle. Like, they got five guys that are good hockey players. Top six guys, legitimately.
Now, is there a push for Ottawa or at least whoever's covering this series to make Ridly Gregg a bit of a bad boy in this or a villain outside of obviously the brief history he's had with Morgan Rielly and last game crashing into Stolarz? Is he now villain number one?
I think he is. It's just you can't let that be. He's not good enough to worry about that much. And he will be, and he is good. Those are separate things. Is good, will be good. Right now, if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you're too talented to be like, we got to get Ridly Gregg. Like, that's not a focus for me.
And it's, you know, when you're covering like you kind of mentioned there, Kipper, when you're covering a series, there's certain things that you kind of, as a writer, as a person who's covering it, there's certain things you kind of grab onto that are storylines and things that you can bring up to the coaches and the players and whatever to kind of get a clip. You know the game here. And Ridly Gregg cross-checking Tavares in the face, crashing into the goal, he's scoring a goal, clearly a main character in the series. It's an easy one to bring up. So naturally, they're going to ask the coaches about him. They're going to ask the players about him. So they have to answer, right? Like, it's not like they can be like, no comment. Mm-hmm. So it's built through the media and it's built on the ice too. So
let's hear Ottawa's coach. Ottawa's coach weighed in on Ridly Gregg. Is that worth
Yeah.
All
right, clip two from Green.
He's a good hockey player. Yeah, loves winning. Plays the right way. Plays hard. Everything you want in a hockey player. He just doesn't say a lot. It's easy to coach. And plays to win.
That is extremely high praise, in my opinion, from a coach.
Yeah. Outside of, I'm not worried about Ridly Gregg too much other than don't take out, you know, the goalie.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm the Leafs, don't take out our goalie if I'm a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, definitely next time he touches the goalie, and there will be a next time, he should get bonked on the head.
Oh, no, no. He should be picking splinters out of, if I'm Anthony Stolarz, and Anthony Stolarz is 6'7", 250.
250.
Okay? He's built like a linebacker.
Yeah.
Like, I'm falling on Ridly Gregg next time.
That's actually not far off, like, Gronk's dimension.
Okay. He's huge. I saw a video of somebody filmed him, like, walking to the game.
He should be worried more about being hurt with going up against a guy that size.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great point. Like, maybe he was worried about, injury, or he was kind of, like, in the heat of the moment there. But they were up big in that situation. He was playing great. He absolutely had like a freebie there to take one on Gregg. Hammer him, punch him, do something to him. But it's just kind of the heat of the moment.
Was it Markstrom who took a swing at a Carolina player and hit his own player last night? You know, it's good to see him swing, but got to know what you're swinging at.
Allmark was slashing too. He slashed Domi in the butt in game one. The goalie's allowed to kind of cross check and hit. So
Stolarz didn't scale. Go ahead.
Was there a little bit of a panic when he didn't go on the ice?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, for real. You didn't have a moment of, oh, God.
In the playoffs.
It was Joe Woll to me last year.
Yeah. No, because I had heard he was fine.
Okay.
I had heard prior to that there were no issues after the game, and I don't know if anyone else kind of felt that way, but that was my first thought, off day for him. And even if he, maybe some, like, this is a guy that's going to have ongoing issues with his health the rest of his career, so there's an element of maintenance, and that's the extent of what I thought.
Let's play Berube on this. Clip six from Berube, please.
No, it just rest, and then he gets his work here this morning, what he needs, I think, you know, with goalies. It's a little different, you know, he had some good work in that game. And, you know, he had to be sharp. He played a lot of pucks, and he was busy. So, you know, you got to manage that and what you think's best for that individual, the next day.
I think I think it's been established already that he might be in Ottawa's heads a little bit.
Stolarz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really? So, yeah, already. They had some good looks. The Pinto one stood out to me the most, where it's not often you got a guy point blank range, no one within 5 feet of you. You got time to set up. We saw the rookie in St. Louis, Snuggerud.
Snuggerud. Mm. What a shot.
What a shot.
Yes.
Okay. That's the same amount of time Pinto had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Snuggerud buries it on a Vezina goalie in Hellebuck, and Pinto sees nothing but a brick wall.
Pinto literally after that would be going, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
What else? But
he's just
shoot it through.
He's just so friggin' big that and then there's no holes. He just comes out and he's so large, his legs are so long that there's not much 6 inches off the ice. Mm-hmm. And you gotta find areas of the ice up top, and there isn't right now.
Yeah. What we have clips from Berube on the attitude heading into game two and what they can improve in game two, either one?
Just to finish up on the goaltending situation, because I'm sure we'll talk about Ullmark here, but I can't imagine two teams having more different feelings about their goaltenders heading into game two than the Leafs have about Stolarz and the Ottawa Senators have about Ullmark.
Yeah.
And as you two both know very well, the confidence of a good goalie in a hockey game, that you play differently, you're more aggressive, you're more willing to take risks, make mistakes because you know you have a guy back there. Add in the penalties that they're taking, scared of taking, the tentativeness with their goalie, you could see like a little bit of tepidness from the Ottawa Senators in terms of collapsing and all that sort of stuff. So I don't know if that's a factor or not, but it feels like it could be.
Absolutely. Do you want to play one of those clips there, the attitude or what they can improve? Either one more appealing to you?
Let's do what they can improve in game two.
Well, I think we can do a better job defensively and check better than we did last game. I thought we gave up some chances that we didn't need to give up, and offensively, we got to control more of the game in the offensive zone than we did.
That part of it's funny to me, though. Like, they haven't done that since October.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really...
But still, you can't control 35% of the play or whatever. Like, call it 42.
They're going to have to... they're going to have to get better as every game goes along here. And I think that's what he's talking about. Yeah. Like, it was good enough to win, obviously, by a wide margin, but I don't think that you looked at their game one and said, like, this is, we're cooking right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, again, it factored into Ottawa did not have anywhere near their A game that got them a playoff spot. That their play in game one was indicative of a team missing the playoffs with bad goaltending. So they're naturally going to rise to a certain level. The Leafs really have to make game one their worst game of the series.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it, that, like, we got away with one. They didn't play well, but we weren't good either. There's got to be another gear. You know, one of the sort of the analytics things that stands out is that when Holmberg does play with that second line, they're at their best. You know, they control the most amount of play and time and all that in the O-zone. It's easy to be there tonight. We do have a quote from him on leaving Holmberg on the second line there, clip 7.
That's all matchup oriented with me for the most part, and what I'm seeing. Maybe I didn't, you know, if I don't like something, I'll switch it in game like I did. And like I said, he played with that line before, and I thought he did a good job there. I thought that line was pretty effective. He hangs on. I talk about Pontus. He's very good at hanging on to pucks. I need that line to have more O-zone possession time.
There it is.
He's a mule, too.
Yeah.
When do you think they go to the McMahon option on that line? Like, what? I guess it's so early here, and it's only game two.
Yeah.
But we know how incredibly good that line was together when they were together in the regular season. When do they go to that?
Yeah.
When do they press the button?
When you're chasing the clock.
Yeah. Okay. When you need a goal. I do think that if he ends up there, like, it would be because this third line, you know, the Domi and Robertson line just doesn't work. You can't find anything. And at that point, okay, you put McMahon with the second line. I think then you're putting David Kampf in the lineup, and that third line is becoming a totally different look, whether that's Robertson or Domi or whoever you want to take out. I think it just totally changes your lineup if you decide this version of the third line can't work.
It is a very different sort of philosophy than Sheldon Keefe. Like, Kampf not playing either of these games. He was one of their go-to guys in the playoffs for the last couple of years. Robertson, you know, playing. I guess he played last year, but he was always hesitant to play him. Mm-hmm. It is a different feeling in terms of the two coaches.
Should we hear? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Craig's got one on Bobby McMahon himself
Sure. Yeah.
He's getting his attempts at the net. I think there's times where I'm not sure the attempt is worth it. I think I'd like to see him delay a little bit or hang on to pucks a little bit more. And he needs to get on the inside. That's going to be key for us with him. He could be an effective player with his speed, body, strength, size. Like, we need him to get on the forecheck. We need him to get into the inside and then the interior of the ice. Did a good job in the goal. You know, that's the interior of the ice I'm talking about. But he can provide more. He can do more.
I think there's a sense of rewarding a lot of these guys for a strong finish to the season and winning the division.
Yeah.
And that includes Nick Robertson for me.
Yeah.
And I told you guys I wouldn't take him out of the lineup and put Pacioretty in. That's not to say that they're not going to go to Pacioretty at some point. I've stressed this. I've lived it. As a member of a hockey team that won the Stanley Cup, you need 24, 25 guys. Yeah. Like, it's just a matter of time before someone takes a puck to the mouth or there's a small tweak somewhere, and the next thing you know, you're making a lineup change.
Yeah.
They will go to Kampf.
Yeah.
They will, I think, go to Pacioretty, and especially if you can play for another month, six weeks. Which everybody in Leafland is hoping.
For sure. I do think that it makes a lot of sense to say, we've had all the success with this lineup, so we're going with this lineup until it shows me it needs to be different. You might as well start with the way it's worked. So,
and I thought,
I'm in on that.
I thought Nick Robertson actually deserves a little bit of credit for his game one. I thought he was active. He was involved. I think he played just over 11 minutes.
Yeah, good, you know, play pushing it back and on the Riley goal.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's, I think he got an assist. He's mixing it up. He's, you know, he's...
He threw hits.
He's in a scrum.
He actually knocked someone to the ice with a hit.
Like, I don't think he's ever going to be what 5'10"? Some people thought he was going to be,
right,
in terms of the production, in terms of where he was drafted, in terms of the hype. But as a guy who was so hard on him for his whole career, I got to give him credit for trying to change his game and looking different. And he was nice to you at that thing. Oh, so, like,
you know how I feel.
He was nice to you. So,
he
I mean,
was nice to me. But, you know, give him full credit, because I don't think that many thought in November or December he'd be in this position right now.
Yeah.
No way.
Right?
You know, part of it is Pacioretty being unavailable, but the Kampf thing is still, it's crazy that Robertson's in and he isn't, but. Yeah. It's not that crazy when you look at how the year went. So,
all right, where do you want to go? You want to go a little Travis Green, or you want to finish on Berube?
You want to go Allmark heading into tonight?
Sure.
All right, let's
Travis
play
Green, head question. Coach yep. on his goaltender.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been perfect all season. He's always bounced back and had good games. He's a great goalie in the league. I'm expecting him to be good tonight as well, much like the rest of our team.
He said he needs to have a memory of a goldfish going into tonight, but there's pressure on him now.
What?
Nothing.
I just
you're just thinking of the curled up goldfish.
No, I'm thinking of a guy that is outwardly making it seem like he's not overthinking things, where it's like, you know, don't write in the papers that I'm upset kind of guy,
yeah,
where he's just like, he's not trying to seem phased. But I got to tell you, look at those playoff numbers. And I don't know, seeing that first game, I don't know how all the guys in his team and his coach and the fans are not in full panic mode about it. He could play great tonight. He was good against the Leafs last year in the loss against the Bruins. When the Bruins lost the Leafs. But
there's
got to be some panic amongst
There is a
Ottawa.
Big difference going to the rink and not knowing. And a big difference in, obviously, sport, you never know the outcome, but like, you have all the confidence in the world that this guy's it's easier on your mind, your psyche. Like, Ottawa, those guys are coming to the rink going, boys, if he doesn't show up, we're done.
Well, and how does that affect how they play, right? Are they desperate laying out of position, trying to make sure they don't get shots and chances? It can have an impact.
It's simpler than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, if he's no good, we have no shot.
That's true for everyone.
I know, but they feel it.
Yeah.
They feel it, and the Leaf players don't coming to the rink.
Yeah.
Right?
They say whoever is in our net, we feel very comfortable with. It could be either guy.
He's got to build that up, starting in the first minute, and he's got to build up some cred back for his hockey club. And yes, he's done it before, and there might be a level of some guys going, you know, he'll show up, but not to the extent of the other team right now.
Most goals versus Linus Ullmark. Barkov has 9. Matthew Tkachuk has 10. And number one in the league, Austin Matthews, 13 times he scored on Ullmark. So see if that one plays out at all tonight.
All right.
Crushed it.
What's the thought on Nick Cousins here?
Well, because, I mean, he got asked if he was going to play tonight, if he potentially was going to come into the lineup. And this was his answer.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. He's won. Played in pressure situations. He's feisty. He competes hard. He's an aggressive player.
There you go.
Kind of strange. And had some experience, with the Florida Panthers. Didn't play in game one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have to do more about his knee than maybe a coach's decision, because that one didn't make much sense to me.
Not feeling 100%. Tough to be really aggressive, you know, the type of game he plays when your knee's not feeling good.
He played all 5 games against the Leafs in 2023.
Yeah. And scored a couple goals, did he?
Yeah, he scored a rather big one down the left wing, shot it past Joseph Wall. A certain bearded man screamed in his face right after.
Yeah.
It was Cousins that scored the overtime
one.
Yes, it was. I don't know. Who could remember that?
I don't do details.
There's been a lot of questions about Tkachuk today at practice. All the players were talking about the Brady sucks chant. And, you know, they were all defending him. What are you expecting from Brady tonight, boys?
It's a great question and an important question. I think he's a gamer. Brady Tkachuk is not going to go away. Some of these guys, you lean on them and it doesn't quite happen for them. No chance he's not a discussion point game 3. When we're sitting in here tomorrow discussing the game.
Yeah,
he's one of the first clips.
I think this game will be a lot closer, a lot tighter. Maybe the outcome's not decided in the third period, but whatever the reasons why Ottawa's better tonight, we'll start with their goaltender. Brady will not be that far off on one of the reasons why I think Ottawa will make game 2 a lot tighter.
And I do think that whatever his injury was or is, the longer he goes into the series, the better it's probably getting, you know, whatever that injury was. So hopefully
That was what I was going to ask.
I don't know.
A lot of speculation.
Head? Was it?
Do you think head?
Concussion symptoms?
Yeah, because if that is the case, then it's just better. You're not playing if it's not better. So,
but there's been a lot of speculation from, you know, some Sens fans that I've seen that they're like, oh, maybe he's playing a little bit hurt because he wasn't really. I mean, he has the breakaway off the Morgan Riley fumble, a couple chances in front of the net, but not his usual bulldoze self. Like, you came into this series after watching that Four Nations final, which is the biggest game that he's played in, where you're like, oh, my God, that's who they're going to have to play against in this series.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't close to that. And it's a different thing. It's the Four Nations. It's the final. It's it's Canada versus the USA. I understand all that. But it wasn't close to that.
No.
No.
Nope, didn't have that kind of juice.
Yeah.
Leafs also did a pretty good job on Sanderson and Shabbat in terms of nullifying their ability to kind of control pace of play, too.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that a lot of their whole thing is keeping them out there, and I think it's going to be get the body on those guys. They're going to play a ton of minutes. Like, Ottawa needs tonight. And I'm not saying it's, you know, must win, but I expect them to play like it is.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if Sanderson plays less than the 27 minutes he played last game.
He was 27?
26, 48 or something like that.
It's interesting if you look at that number versus what the Leafs defense core did, and nobody was over 20, right? So
yeah, but they also had a 4-1 lead, and
also those power plays, they don't put a demon on the ice.
Can roll.
It's
easier, you know, unless you're the Edmonton Oilers, right? There's no McDavid that for Ottawa in game 1 to get them back in the series, right, like we saw last night. But leads leads are huge for the Leafs because they're good. They're good at it, and they've got the goaltending that can discourage thinking you're back in the hockey game.
And I don't have the stat in front of me, but Ottawa is one of the worst teams in the league
coming back after the first period.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
I think maybe 4 or 5 wins out of 27.
Yeah,
or
like
28
you get them down and
attempts.
It's tough for them because they don't have the elite.
After the first period, they
do. Samson Stützle that can do it. You know, can break a game open, but
down in the first period, they don't win many hockey games.
Yeah. So first goals would be big.
What are you like? I can't get a read on you, Kipper, for how you're feeling about tonight. From the Leafs perspective.
I think there's a great opportunity to go up 2-0.
I also think you don't think they played well in game 1.
Leafs?
Yeah.
They're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I'm also watching like other series, and I'm like, yeah, the Leafs have another gear for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What other series made you feel like that?
Oh, Winnipeg St. Louis.
Is hockey.
Right, I got to tell you, that might be a different sport than the Eastern Conference is playing.
Yeah.
I was going back and forth between Montreal, Washington, and St. Louis, Winnipeg.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
These two teams would crush these two teams.
West is in a different league right now.
Yeah. And Winnipeg getting through that series, if they can do it in 5 or less, look at
My thinking also is that the West in the next month and a half will beat the crap out of each other. And somehow the East may slide in and win a Stanley Cup.
Old Mr. Ovechkin with 2 goals last night has a chance to win a Conn Smythe. I'm telling you that.
You think you're going to go through Florida or Tampa and you're not going to get beat up? Like, I mean, that series might be the beatiest of all.
Playing for them, you know?
Wow.
We'll see what kind of bloodbath they...
Okay, one series.
Yeah,
one series. But I guess you're right. Like, Carolina and the Devils isn't exactly, you know, Colorado and,
neither
and Detroit of the 90s here. No.
Neither is Washington, Montreal. But, hey, as far as the Leafs are concerned, they just got to work on getting better. And that's what in the playoffs you do. You do grow... You grow as a team over a stretch of 2 months to try to win a Stanley Cup.
Before we go to break, do you want to hear Green on his team heading into town?
Yeah, let's play Travis Green.
Clip one.
I expect another pretty good game. I thought 5-on-5, our game was good the other night. I'm probably going to say a lot of the same things I said in here before. I thought we were a little nervous at the start of the game. And probably won't be as nervous tonight to start. But, you know, when you start the first 2 games on the road, you're hoping to get one of them. We're hoping to get tonight.
Very true. Win tonight, it's a win.
Everybody's hoping.
Yep.
There is a lot, and God, this word is terrifying for Leaf fans, but there is a lot of optimism about this after game 1 and even before the playoffs started about how they're feeling. And I thought that you really saw it with the crowd at Scotiabank Arena on Sunday night. I thought it was an excellent crowd. People seemed genuinely excited, not tepid like they have been in years past. I think that place is going to be on fire tonight. I really do feel that people are genuinely excited. And it's not Easter Sunday now this time. Like, it's, you know, it's a different crowd. I feel like it's going to be a really, really good crowd. So we'll see.
All right.
I got a quick promo before we head to break here, boys. Sportsnet and Muskoka Bay Resort are excited to kick off a contest to give away an incredible stay-and-play package for 4. Retailing for $4,500. Have you guys entered yet?
I literally have, yes. I don't know if they'd let me win.
But I'm coming with it.
Yeah, it's actually for one. It's actually for one.
Yeah, because we got three booked.
All you have to do is text Muskoka to 590-590 to enter. Visit sportsnet.ca/590 contest for more details. Standard message and data rates may apply. Visit sportsnet.ca/590 contest for more details, boys.
That's a prize. Right.
Woo, boys.
And nice golf course.
Speaking of people that are going to be in attendance tonight at Scotiabank Arena, our next guest.
Oh, who is it?
It is
Hall of Famer.
WWE Hall of Famer. AWE. I was told upstairs, those guys got mad at me for screwing up his title or whatever, but AEW Superstar Now, Leaf fan. Pretty exciting for a lot of people.
Cope, formerly Edge.
Adam Copeland.
Let's go, boys.
I've bumped into on a number of occasions. Okay, nobody loves the Leafs like this guy.
Do you think he would beat you up?
Yes, but he's really sweet to me.
Okay, so it's not coming
on his good side.
Good, good, good.
We'll find out after the break how much I'm on his good side when we return. Star wrestler Cope next on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. I can't think of a better guest to get us absolutely jacked for game two than our wrestling champ of the world, Adam Copeland.
Look at this guy.
Cope, where are you? Are you in our alumni room yet?
I'm not yet, but I will be.
How are you?
I'm great, man. I flew in this morning, super stoked, beautiful day. Ready for game two. I'm super excited, you know, and all this talk of 5-on-5 and all like, the New York Islanders from the 80s, like, well,
5-on-5?
They lost 6-2.
Buddy, listen, I had the pleasure of hanging out with you a few times at Scotiabank Arena. Your passion is through and through as good as anyone's I've ever seen. Explain to me how a guy your size from Canada ends up in a wrestling ring and not playing with me in the NHL.
I'll boil it down real, real simply. It's way cheaper to buy tights than it is hockey equipment. Spandex does cost way less. No, I played for a couple years growing up, but I've come from a single parent household, and my mom just, you know, I was growing out of my equipment every season, and we didn't own a car either, so getting to games was difficult, and just keeping up with the cost. That's why I love Hockey House, you know, because they help kids like me.
That's awesome. Well, we sure appreciate you coming on and your support of the show and the team. I gotta ask, are you like a major anomaly? Are other wrestlers into hockey?
So the Canadians, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Christian and I, my buddy Jay, best friend growing up, we love hockey. We talk hockey. We text during the games, you know, all that good stuff. We hit as many as we can in Tampa because he lives down in Tampa. And then I make the forays up north here to come back home.
So the feature I saw, I think, was with Stephen Brunt. If I'm not mistaken, it was at your house with all the memorabilia. That's North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I live down in Asheville, North Carolina, and my wife and my two daughters gave me the bottom back room. They said, you are allowed to have this. Do with it what you will. And I decided to turn it into my Leafs room. So I've goalie masks from Wayne Thomas through Paul Mateer all the way up to you know, Wall and Stolarz now.
Where are you finding all of this stuff?
Oh, dude. Like, I went online and found a chair from Maple Leaf Gardens. Like, I scour. I have way too much time on my hands is what it boils down to. And I just look for stuff. Like, today I went by the store at the arena and I bought the latest Austin Matthews Funko because it was in the home jersey. And
that is awesome.
Gotta have it. So you spent time and you watched all those Battle of Ontarios from years past. Do you enjoy this version of this Leafs team, which I think is a little bit more physical than they've had the previous core 4 years?
Yeah. So at the beginning of the season, not that I'm like that guy to give myself a pat on the back, but anybody who would listen, I said, it's a different Leafs team. If they buy into Berube's system, they're not going to be as exciting, but they're going to win games. Yep. And that's been the case. You know, I'll take a 2-1 win over a 6-5 loss any day. And the physicality, the D that they have, I think, is that and the goaltending and Berube, to me, are the biggest differences. And you know, then you get a guy like Nice up front, and people don't talk about Tavares's physicality. I will just spend games watching Tavares, mm-hmm, when he's on the ice and no one else, just to see how he he separates himself, you know, and keeps the puck away from guys. Yeah. He just has this innate ability to do that. And I love that he plotted, you know, what, 38 this year. I love that. I really think this team, and I say it every year, but I truly do feel like this year with Berube, with the D, with the goaltending, it's a different animal this season.
So I'm not going to ask Adam this question. I'm going to ask like Edge or Cope this question. Okay. Ridly Gregg's driving hard to the net.
Oh, I'm taking
okay?
that.
And you're the goalie. What is going to happen to Ridly Gregg?
He's going to eat a forearm. Like, if I see that dude coming down, the blocker's coming straight out.
Oh, the waffle. He's eating waffle.
Yeah.
That seems totally reasonable.
Especially with Stolarz at 6'7". Like, Gregg's got to be careful because he'll get his head taken off by Stolarz.
So are you expecting – what do you expect tonight? What's your feeling going into game two here?
Well, I think the Sens are going to be far smarter than they were in the first game. I think you saw a lot of playoff nerves, and you did see the fact that the Leafs have, you know, been in 9 straight years. They had poise. I think Ottawa is going to be better because they won't take those stupid penalties. I still like to think, though, that that's the Leafs kind of game. Like, if you get into a tight-checking, low-scoring game, I don't think the Leafs really care. This version of the Leafs really care if the opposition has it in their zone. I really don't, because they got Chris Tanev and they got Jake McCabe and they got, you know, they got a good core and Carlo and I really love the defensive core. I really do. I miss Jake Muzzin, man. I miss Jake Muzzin, but him in this D core would have been ugly.
You're feeling confident that this is shaping up for a 2-0 series lead after tonight.
I mean, I will always, you know, come in on the side of the Leafs and say, yeah, they're going to take it. That's just, you know, no matter what kind of season they have. I mean, I was a fan through the Ballard years, right? So if you maintain your fandom through that, then this is like unicorns farting rainbows. This is
amazing. Hey, all kidding aside, you watch and listen to our show, or are you just telling me that to be nice?
No, I watch. You can ask my wife and kids. I get the girls from school. I come back home. I already got the workout in, and I watch the show. I do.
Oh, we love you, man.
It's true.
Hey, Adam, awesome stuff. Cope, we love your enthusiasm. You are welcome on our show at any time to talk Leafs, man. Thanks for doing this. And have a great time tonight.
You're going to have me on every week.
Thanks, Cope. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Guys. Wrestling royalty right there. Adam Copeland.
What a star he is.
But I'm jacked for tonight.
I know. Put him on the ice, though.
You think Ridly Gregg will watch that segment and go, I don't want to go near him anymore?
I think he'd be terrified.
Wrestlers have such an awesome charisma and personality and, like, radiant. I just want to be around that guy.
I know.
Like, just listen to him talk, wearing his Leafs shirt. He loves the Leafs. I would, you know, I got to do Leafs talk at the game, of course, but I would... You know, I wouldn't mind going to the game tonight and hanging out with Adam Copeland. It'd be all right.
He's a fascinating guy, too. Big music guy, reads a ton, loves hockey. Like, it doesn't feel like what I imagine a wrestler to be like.
So. Yeah. So when I was in Hershey, Pennsylvania, when I played with the Hershey Bears in the American Hockey League, like, that was a big spot for the WWE at the time.
Yep.
And, like, I would, like, pretend I'm going to get treatment or work in the dressing room when the wrestlers were down there.
Yeah.
And I would, like, fake to the security guard, I'm going to our dressing room, just to sneak a peek at Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Randy Savage.
Back off, little man.
Like, and they'd be down there, like, playing cards.
That's so sick.
And Andre would have, like, a bottle of red.
Yeah.
Or four.
And he'd be holding it, like, it looks like this cup of coffee.
Yeah. And I'm like... I'm in
those
like,
are some
heaven.
That's a terrifying era of wrestling. You know, you watch some documentaries.
Have you watched the one on Netflix, the latest one, Mr. McMahon?
Yes, I have.
It is fantastic.
Is it?
Really good, my God.
Have you seen the one on Andre the Giant and his life growing up?
No, I've never seen it.
Just heartwarming and heart-wrenching at the same time because, you know, he was different, right? Mm-hmm. and the things that he had to endure to get to the point to being one of the most famous people on the planet.
Yeah.
On the planet.
Yep.
How many planets we got?
There's a few planets out there.
I think we're down to 8 now.
Anyways, that's wrestling.
Love it.
And my grandmother forced me to watch it when I was a little kid. My Greek grandmother knew no English. If she picked up a word or two, it would come off of watching wrestling.
Really?
Yes.
It could be great words.
Yes.
Who was her favorite? Do you remember?
The Iron Sheik maybe back then. I can't even remember, but she's like, don't touch.
Well, either way.
Don't touch TV.
What a great guy Cope is. Yeah. Appreciate his support.
Love it.
So tonight, one thing that stuck out to me when talking about the physical hockey, if you think if Brady Tkachuk had any sort of like, you know, head injury that he's been told like no fighting or
no, zero. That doesn't happen.
No,
you're in.
You're in to play.
Like a coach wants you, like once you got medical clearance, you don't go backwards.
Yeah.
Right. You only look ahead. It's go big or go home. Yeah. You want to squeeze out everything. Possible thing you can out of Brady Tkachuk tonight to even up the series.
Well, let's keep it on the theme of this intensity in the battle. Craig Berube, clip 5, had a clip about being in the battle this of awesome. Ontario.
I like to be in the middle of the battle of Ontario.
It's been great. It's a battle. Like it's funny, you know. Like I didn't really understand all of it, you know, before. You know, I watched it in the past, obviously, but. You know, there's some hatred there for sure, and it's pretty good. I enjoy it.
Enjoy a little bit of hatred.
Doesn't really give you anything at all. No. What do you think of the Battle of Ontario? It's a battle.
There's two versions of him after listening to countless scrums of him all year long. It's like the kind of grumpy post-game one or the pre-game one where he like will joke and like smile a bit. But gives you nothing else. Like,
yeah.
Like it's nothing more that he gives you. That McMahon clip where he's talking about how it's like, oh my God. Well, Sheldon Keefe used to give you in-depth breakdowns of every player, yeah. every game for 13 minutes afterwards.
With Sheldon, though, there used to be like these peaks and valleys. Yes. And this guy has nothing. Flatline.
And I will say it's working for him.
And it's the team has kind of taken on that personality.
Now it sucks for us. It would be great if he'd have a hill and a dip, a ditch of some variety, but
just won't do it.
It's been Saskatchewan all the way through.
No.
It's Saskatchewan. Like,
you know, he's just got two words for the team. Just play.
Yeah.
Those are his two words. Just play.
Oh, don't be too fancy.
Right? Just play. Let's go and play.
Mm-hmm.
That's so his message.
Do you think
pre-game speech. Just play.
Just play.
Well, I mean, he did have a pretty great pregame speech after in game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Did
you guys seen that?
No.
The one against the Bruins? It's a pretty famous one.
Is
where, he goes, you guys have never seen that? You guys cover the Leafs.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not racing for Craig Berube documentaries.
Okay. It's a...
We're watching Under the Giants. Buddy,
it's an incredibly famous clip of him pumping up the Blues before the game.
Ooh.
And it's really, really
you know
good.
What? So here's what I remember.
He's saving it then for the Leafs.
I remember it being contrasted with a Sheldon Keefe clip that was played.
Yes. He's like, right? Let's have some fun here, guys. And then Brew was like, let's pump it up here, boys. And he just like gets into it. I'm going to watch it tonight again. It's one of my faves.
I'm going to watch it.
We're watching the break. But I'm pretty disappointed in you
I'm
guys.
I'm already watching it.
And I've seen it.
You got me going now.
So predictions for tonight.
I want to go maybe... 3-2 Leafs, maybe an empty net 4-2.
I was going to say 8 goals scored last game. I think you're looking at 5 goals tonight. So however you want to divide them up, I think it's a close one.
This is going to test my heart. 2-1 Leafs in overtime.
Ooh, low scoring.
Kerfoot scores or who? Who do you got?
You got Allmark playing a good game then.
Yep.
All right.
Goldfish brain will be good.
We're just getting warmed up here. That is our Leaf Hour edition. We go national next. Sean Reynolds, who's done a terrific job all season long for us with Jets Talk.
Big Jets Talk.
Dan. Big Jets Talk. And we'll cover the Edmonton Oilers. What happened last night against the Los Angeles Kings? News on Lou Lamoriello. Remember that name?
Yes.
More when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.